Hello, welcome to the show called The Environment. I'm Gene, a volunteer reader with SunSounds of Arizona. I'm going to be reading articles from the World Wildlife Magazine, the Spring 2026 edition. This first one is entitled Waste Not, was written by Lee Poston. The subtitle is Florida Students and Teachers Take on School Food Waste, One Lunch Tray at a Time. Here's the article. It's 9:30 on a Wednesday morning, and Melissa Miskovsky is rallying a classroom of boisterous fifth graders at Orlando's Citrus Elementary School. She asks, what does it mean when something is decomposing? Question flashes on a TV monitor, followed by four multiple-choice answers. Eager hands thrust into the air, including that of Madison R., who exclaims, I know what that means. Students enter answers on their tablets before Madison triumphantly reads the correct response aloud. Decomposing materials return valuable nutrients to the soil, supporting plant growth and ecosystem function. Well, when the class's answers are displayed on the monitor, shouts of joy erupt. Every single student chose the correct answer. Clearly, the teacher has taught them well. The teacher then encourages her students to think beyond the quiz, to how the questions relate to what they eat, and more importantly, don't eat in the cafeteria. You can almost see the children connect the dots, realizing that everything they eat is part of a much larger, interconnected system that they have the power to affect. Miskovsky said about her class's deep dive into the issue of food waste, quote, it's important for students to understand the why behind what we are doing, unquote. She went on and said, quote, they need to understand the impact it has on our community and our planet. Understanding their impact at school can help build concepts about cause and effect relationships, as well as the interdependence among all living things, unquote. This soft-spoken, eloquent evangelist for eliminating waste in schools was so bothered by how much cafeteria food at her previous school ended up in the landfill that when she learned the district had secured a U.S. Department of Agriculture grant to support waste reduction in 21 schools, she jumped at the chance to take part. She says, quote, I was seeing so much food thrown away every day when I had lunch duty. It made me crazy. So when I saw this opportunity, I thought, well, here's a great way to fix this problem, unquote. Now, Orange County Public Schools is the eighth largest school district in the country, with 207,000 students and 24,000 employees. It has made waste reduction, specifically food waste, a pillar of its 2030 sustainability goals. To support the school system, WWF provided a grant for Citrus and four other schools to conduct food waste audits and educational programming as part of the Food Waste Warriors program. What the audit found was startling. Food makes up approximately half of the waste stream at all five schools. It's not an isolated issue, and Miskovsky is not alone in her concern. The problem of perfectly good food going uneaten and left to decay in landfills is a global problem that contributes to climate change and negatively impacts ecosystems and wildlife and food security. But unlike some of the planet's most complex environmental challenges, solutions related to food waste are plentiful, and they're relatively easy to do. She said, food is not trash. It should be eaten. And if it's not eaten, it can be composted and turned into fertile soil. Well, that is music to the ears of Mary Jane Chandler, WWF's program officer for food loss and waste, who, through the Food Waste Warriors program, is helping tackle the problem in U.S. schools, which serves 4.9 billion lunches every year. The initiative offers a suite of K-12 classroom lesson plans, activities, toolkits, all designed to build a better understanding of where those billions of lunches come from and where they go. Chandler said, quote, Food Waste Warriors is all about turning the cafeteria into the classroom, getting kids thinking and asking questions. They're using their hands as they're eating their food, so it's already this interactive space. So how can we integrate sustainable food education and behavioral practices as well? 40% of all food produced on the planet is wasted. In the U.S., roughly 10 million tons of crops don't even make it off the farm because of labor shortages, extreme weather, or low market prices, or overproduction, or simply because it doesn't meet the cosmetic standards of America's grocery stores. The food that does make it into schools feeds nearly 30 million students every day. That's about the population of Texas. It makes schools one of the largest food service systems in the United States. A 2019 study by WWF, based on food waste audits from 46 schools, found that each student wastes an average of 39.2 pounds of food per year. When applied to all schools nationwide, that amounts to as much as 530,000 metric tons of food sent to landfills from K-12 schools annually. That's equal to 1.9 million metric tons of greenhouse gas pollution, or you could think of it in terms of the weight of 106,000 elephants. Now, all that stuff that's sent to the recycling, to the landfills, excludes milk. That's 530,000 metric tons of food, but it's not counting milk. Pete Pearson, who is the WWF's vice president for food loss and waste, said, quote, food carries a huge and hidden environmental footprint. Food waste awareness campaigns typically show mountains of fruit and vegetables rotting in landfills. But it's the waste of animal proteins or dairy or seafood, while less evident by volume, that's the real tragedy. It may look like you're not wasting much by dumping an unopened milk container in the school trash, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Much of what is lost, including all the embedded resources that go into milk production, like energy, water, land, labor, nature, that's all unseen. That's what you're really wasting. Agriculture is among the largest drivers of biodiversity loss globally, which means, in theory, you could draw a line from many of the planet's endangered species to the burgers or tater tots served on elementary school lunch trays. Some projections suggest that by the year 2050, agricultural production will be responsible for a staggering 70% of all terrestrial species loss. Agriculture, including forestry and other land use, also accounts for 22% of global greenhouse gas emissions and sucks up 70% of the world's dwindling freshwater supplies. So when it comes to planetary impacts, it seems the food that keeps us alive is one of the things that is hurting us most. It's for these reasons that WWF began the Food Waste Warriors program in 2018. As an extension of its broader focus on global food systems and biodiversity. From humble beginnings as a classroom teaching tool, the program is now active in nearly 1,000 schools across 31 states. The interactive curricula includes guidance on waste audits and tracking data, practical ideas including share tables and share refrigerators, where students can place unopened or uneaten food for others to take, and an advocacy framework that empowers young people to drive change around food issues, from local school boards to state legislatures. Well, back at school, Chandler is playing a wildlife-themed cootie catcher game with one of Miskovsky's students after helping another build a Lego panda. Miskovsky is with another group demonstrating how to weigh leftover food and sort out what can be composted from what's headed for the landfill. The activities come from the Food Waste Warriors curriculum, and judging by the class's rapid-fire questions, wide-eyed enthusiasm, and burst of creativity, it is clear the hands-on activities are a powerful way to cement the many ways that food and biodiversity overlap. For the curriculum to truly succeed, Chandler says it should embrace and build on schools' skills being taught in other classes, such as math and science, and it has to be adaptable enough to conform to a particular school system's existing standards. In many schools, its principles are woven into complementary lesson plans. The science behind food waste, the math used to calculate and track the weight of compost, or the geography of where food originates. Chandler said, quote, "While the curriculum meets teaching standards around food webs or how food grows or the importance of wildlife, it's also teaching them observation and critical thinking skills and allowing them to connect it to their daily life," unquote. Well, that is certainly the case with Reuben P., a quiet fifth grader who has translated his knowledge into action on the home front. He said, quote, "I talked to my parents about it. I told them it was fun to compost. It helps the earth, and it helps plants when they send it to the garden. We have a fruit tree in our backyard, and we're trying to compost our waste so when it turns into soil, we can put it around the tree so I can give it nutrients," unquote. Well, as she marshals her class into a single line and walks them to the cafeteria, Miskovsky remembers when she once thrust her bare arm into a composting bin to dig out a ketchup packet, telling her disgusted students that it's important not to contaminate the compost. She said, quote, "It was a nice little teachable moment to show that I was willing to roll up my sleeves and get dirty for the bigger cause," unquote. When she arrived at Citrus, Miskovsky found a kindred spirit in Daniel St. Ong, a like-minded, energetic teacher and the driving force behind the school's participation in the Food Waste Warriors. St. Ong, an instructional coach who focuses on math and science, said, quote, "For the past few years, the amount of stuff that's getting thrown away, the amount of food that's unwrapped and in containers, it all just went straight into the trash. I mean, we were filling the trash cans," unquote. But before tackling the problem, St. Ong had to gain the trust of Food and Nutrition Services Manager Kim Alshakur, who radiates compassion for kids and was recently named Influencer of the Week by the West Orange Times. After peppering St. Ong with questions about implications for food cost and staff time and feasibility, she quickly became a believer. She recalls and said, quote, "I was very persistent with my manager, saying, I see a lot of food waste, a lot of kids being hungry. Let's try to participate in this so we can now make sure that it's a success," unquote. Well, for the 24-25 school year, 88.7% of the student population at Citrus qualifies for federally supported free lunches and academic support. As the students move along the cafeteria line, Alshakur constantly reminds them that if they don't want something on their tray, they can leave it on the share table for another student who may still be hungry. And she says with a wide grin, quote, "They love that," unquote. St. Ong and Miskovsky and Alshakur's hard work has translated into big results. Since Citrus Elementary joined the program in August of 2024, the school has converted 16,388 pounds of food waste into compost. The 21 Orange County Public Schools that pilot the program have seen similar results. A total of 263,675 pounds of discarded food that would have previously ended up in landfills is instead nourishing new vegetables and fruits. Now, the discarded milk cartons that frustrated St. Ong are one of the most visible symbols of how policy, guidelines, and lunchroom sustainability intersect. According to a 2019 WWF report, U.S. schools toss an estimated 45 million gallons of milk each year. Producing just 1 gallon requires 144.2 gallons of water. Which means that the milk discarded annually by schools represents enough wasted water to fill nearly 10,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. And in fact, the CO2, the carbon dioxide, released in producing all of that milk is equivalent to the annual emissions of 77,000 gas-powered vehicles. That's an environmental toll that is multiplied when that waste goes to landfills or incinerators. Pearson says, quote, "You don't have to serve everything that you've got. You can give students options to take things," unquote. Most institutions, he argues, already know when food is likely to go uneaten. Quote, he went on and said, "But we've got these myths about what's required that stand in our way, and they actually create waste. You don't have to take a milk carton, for instance, just to throw it in the trash," unquote. As food insecurity grows in America, the program serves a dual purpose, preventing waste while reducing hunger. During 2024-25, Orange County Public School share tables recovered and redirected 21,000 pounds of food to community food recovery programs or into other students' hands. Pearson advocates for bulk milk dispensers that allow children to take only the amount of milk they need in a glass instead of a carton. WWF's study found that around 32 cartons of milk are wasted per student per year. If they use jugs or milk dispensers, however, those numbers drop. Well, as lunch wraps up, Isabella I. and Reuben P. roll the compost bins past every table. Students dump their leftovers before filing out. St. Ong pitches in as a compost collector, gathering half-eaten apples, untouched empanadas, and leftover milk while trading the occasional joke and offering encouragement. Compost bins are then picked up by O-Town Compost and taken across town, where founder Charlie Pioli and his team have already collected more than 450,000 pounds of food waste and lunch trays that are made from compostable fibers. He said, quote, "We haul it all to local farms who process it into finished compost. Then we bring that compost back so they can fertilize their school's gardens and ultimately tell that circular story that food waste is not trash. It's actually a resource that can help to grow more food," unquote. It took Pioli 3 years to compost his first 1,000,000 pounds, but now he hits that mark every 3 months, demonstrating the increasing demand for composting, which he attributes to new city and state regulations, growing public awareness of the impact of solid waste, as well as the lower barriers to entry in the industry. He says, quote, "It's one of those rare instances in capitalism where growth is actually good for the environment," unquote. Well, in the schools where food waste warriors have been implemented, the WWF estimates a 14.5% reduction in food waste and a 12% reduction in milk waste. But to truly make a long-lasting impact, the program needs to reach as many of the nation's more than 100,000 schools as possible. Pearson said, quote, I would love to see this become an institutionalized part of the National School Lunch Program, with lunchrooms across the country actively monitoring the food they serve and the waste they generate, and those lessons embedded in a curriculum that teaches students about the ecology and origins of our food. Unquote. Chandler cites the low barrier to entry as a key reason that Food Waste Warriors is an ideal fit for schools of all sizes, including those with limited resources. She said, quote, it's simple to implement and intentionally designed to be flexible, low cost, and low stress. All it takes to get started are a few basic tools, a scale, some bins, a cart, a cooler, and a few student or staff volunteers, unquote. Grants or local partnerships like those offered by the WWF can often help schools cover some expenses as well. The financial benefits alone justify scaling up, Chandler adds, noting that cutting food waste in all schools could save $1.7 billion annually. He said, think about what that could mean for resources, for school infrastructure, for staffing capacity, for food, unquote. Pearson agrees, noting that programs like Food Waste Warriors can drive meaningful change from the ground up. He said, quote, these types of initiatives don't require millions in government funding. What's needed is local level action. Sponsoring a school cafeteria food waste reduction program is one of the most impactful steps a local community or business can take on behalf of a healthier planet. We want students to imagine a world without waste, unquote. Miskovsky added, quote, I hope that students are able to realize that they do have power, and that even these small things that we do in our day-to-day lives can impact the world at large, unquote. And that was the article by Lee Poston entitled Waste Not. Well, I think we have time for a couple of small articles. Here's one called All Hands on Deck, but I don't see an author for it. So somebody in the editor's bureau of the magazine wrote this. All Hands on Deck. People in the U.S. spend more than 7 hours a day online, consuming news and entertainment, connecting with friends, and sometimes doom-scrolling. But WWF offers a better way to use that time. WWF's Jessica Lazarus said, WWF's Action Center is a hub where supporters can take simple, meaningful actions to influence key conservation issues, unquote. Recently, for example, nearly 700,000 WWF U.S. activists contacted their elected representatives to urge Congress to pass the Big Cat Public Safety Act. It's part of the WWF's decades-long efforts to regulate captive tiger ownership in the U.S. And after that campaign, the act was signed into law. In addition, activists can participate in in-person events like the WWF's annual Lobby Day. Last March, 85 participants held 80 meetings with congressional offices in support of continued funding for U.S. international conservation programs. WWF also offers programs like Panda Ambassadors for dedicated activists looking for leadership opportunities in conservation. Greg Griff, a Panda Ambassador, has seen firsthand how one person's actions can have a multiplying effect. He said, quote, when I wrote a pangolin conservation op-ed for my local newspaper, it opened my eyes to how impactful my actions can be. So many people reached out to me about how my work inspired them to learn about pangolins and donate to the cause, unquote. And that was All Hands on Deck. Now here's a page entitled Strawberries on Top. For ancient Romans, the juicy heart-shaped strawberry symbolized Venus, the goddess of love. Centuries later, French gardeners cultivated the plump, sweet fruit that we know today. But now, strawberries are a kitchen staple, found in 94% of American households, making them the most devoured berry in the country. The average American consumes about 8 pounds of strawberries each year, mostly fresh. Younger people especially crave organic strawberries, which in 2024 accounted for nearly 12% of retail strawberry sales. A pound of strawberries is about 15 to 20 medium-sized berries, and apparently we're doing about 8 pounds of them a year. Well, 90%, that's California. With moderate temperatures and a long growing season, California grows about 90% of the nation's strawberries, contributing to a harvest worth more than $3 billion in recent years. But in the coming decades, climate pressures could shrink yields and drive up cost. And then, a landmark study by the Pacific Coast Food Waste Commitment in 2023 found that more than one-third of strawberries never leave the field. Some are missed by pickers. Others are rejected for not meeting buyer standards for size or shape or appearance. These findings were enabled by the Global Farm Loss Tool. That's a resource that was developed by the WWF and partners to help growers quantify and minimize their on-farm losses. And that was some interesting information about strawberries from the page entitled Strawberries on Top. It's time for me to say goodbye. I'm Gene, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you have been listening to me read articles from the World Wildlife Magazine, the Spring 2026 edition. This is the show called The Environment. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I hope you keep on listening. Bye for now.